It's time for the Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio, discussing everything about food and spirits in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies, brought to you by Gavora's Fine Wine and Spirits, Bobby's Downtown, Hoodoo Brewery, and Quality Food Sales. Now your host, David Proves.
Good evening, Fairbanks. Welcome to our locally produced show, Fairbanks Foodies. I'm your host, David Proves. On this show, we will explore meals you yourself can make, food venues in Fairbanks, local restaurants to try, events you can participate in, and beverages you can create. We have four great sponsors. We want to thank them. But tonight, we are having a Caesar salad throwdown. It's Karen Gordon, who's been with me on many occasions here. She is the Thai restaurant extraordinaire of Fairbanks, versus me, David. I'm Italian Proves. So, Karen, how do we get here?
We got here because we went to, yesterday, what you were saying previously, that we went to a restaurant. We wanted to review this brand new restaurant that we just learned about when we first cased the food places at the fair in August. And it looked like a real promising place. It's Caribbean food. It's real close. And so we went there, and they were closed.
They were closed.
Yeah, closed.
So then what happened?
So then you said, let's go to
another restaurant. Yeah.
This other restaurant. And so we did. We went to that restaurant, and we ordered a variety of things to make some lovely food discoveries.
And recommendations, but?
Yes, but as it turned out,
it was rotten.
Can you spell mediocre?
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, so.
Hold on. Come on in. What's the score? Who won?
Whoever did the glass bowl wins.
Oh.
I've been beat!
The glass bowl was very flavorful, and everybody here, hands down.
Fairbanks, I got my glutamus maximus kicked. Karen Gordon is the queen of
Yay!
The show.
Yay! It was delicious.
You went so far out of bounds of the way you make it, but that's okay.
Okay.
So we decided to make a Caesar salad throwdown.
Yes, because you were...
Being the poppycock that I am, said I make the best Caesar salad in the world, and you said, I make it. And it was proven on the air that you make it. So how do you go about doing it?
Okay, I will just read you my ingredients, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So I used avocado oil. This recipe says vegetable. This is my sister's recipe, actually. Red wine vinegar. 6 large cloves of garlic. Huge. Mm-hmm. The biggest ones I could get. And I tediously squeezed them through the little garlic press in little tiny pieces and cut them off with a knife. It's laborious, but I don't want globs of...
Laborious. That's a big word.
Yeah, even for me. Of course, lemon juice, fresh lemon juice, and Worcestershire sauce. Dijon mustard goes in there, and grated Parmesan cheese, the stuff in the green bottle, the cheapy stuff, but does its job. Anchovies, and that's it.
What's his name? A Chef Boyardee.
Yes, exactly. Or maybe even Kroger. But we go that
so,
deep.
So technically, you didn't make a Caesar salad.
I don't know, because it didn't have egg yolk in it?
No, it didn't have olive oil.
Oh.
And it had red wine vinegar.
Oh, so that's my recipe. So
that's a great recipe.
Oh, now, see, here's the deal. So if I didn't make a Caesar salad,
I have a comeback. But yours is very tasty, very good. Now, you know, like I said, the worst Caesar salad I've ever had is the one I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a great one. I mean, with Caesar salad, you brought it. Good job. I do mine a little bit different. I'm more traditional. I take like yourself, I start out with garlic. But I manufacture my Caesar salad dressing in the mortar and pestle.
Ah.
That's why I brought this here. This is where it's at. So what I do, I start out with 2 garlic cloves. And I dice them up and I put them in the mortar and the pestle. And I crush them for about 4 minutes before they're becoming a paste with liquid. Mm-hmm. Then I take my anchovies. And now we're going to go into the history a little bit later.
Oh, good.
Caesar salad. I take my anchovies and my sides, and I dice them up. Then I put them in the mortar with the pestle, and I crush them up with the garlic, and it starts making a paste. I mean, so far I'm into it about literally 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
8 minutes of just doing that. Then I take my egg yolk, and I put it in there. And that's when it starts, you know, becoming the paste with the first liquid that you put in there. Then I cut a lemon in half, and I put half a lemon in there. And I, you know, again, you're hitting with the mortar and the mm-hmm. pestle. You're not stopping this at all. You're keeping on going. Then I take my Lee and Perrins, and I put a tablespoon in. And again, back to, so now I'm into it about 12 minutes. And it's a great liquid. Then I put in my mustard. Dijon, but you know, hey, it's all good. And again, I'm just crushing it, just emulsifying it together in the mortar and pestle. Then I take out, I just start streaming in the olive oil, streaming in as I'm doing it. So it's all emulsifying together. And I put in about 2/3 of a cup of olive oil. And it's all just rock solid. You know, there's no separation between the two. The olive oil and the rest of it is all emulsified together. If you take a look at the jar that I have, it's not separated. It never separates. Then at the end, I take the nice salt, and I do about 4 or 5 turns of salt in it. Then I get a tablespoon of peppercorns, and I grind them up, and I throw it in, and I'm doing that emulsifying together. Then I put it in the refrigerator, and I let it cool down for about a half hour. And then I, you know, get out the lettuce, chop it up, and I use the shredded Parmesan. But great salads, and those people out there are so spoiled. Karen, we spoil our people. And now we have Rick Rydell in here who witnessed this, and he's eating well.
Eating well.
What do you think about our salads? Whichever one you thought was the best.
I don't know that there is a best, to be honest with you. They were very different, either one. Yours was a much more full and robust flavor as it entered. And hers was more light and airy.
Yeah.
And and maybe it was the addition of the vinegar. Maybe it was the, you said avocado. What kind of oil did you use?
Avocado oil.
Mm-hmm. A lighter oil,
yeah. Right? But again, you know, both of you are cooking on pay scales much above mine. So because as Prues knows, I eat meat.
Yeah.
And that's it. So
or an endangered species once in a while.
We won't talk about that with my current profession. But anyway, so I would think that they were pretty even. It would depend on personal taste.
Yeah, I like the robust side. I really do.
Yeah.
I always like the robust.
That's the Italian
side.
Thing. You can't help it.
Now, it's interesting. Yeah, you're right. Mom, you know, she's full blood.
Yeah.
You know, her parents immigrated from Orsanz, Italy, and just the way it is. And basically, I had that salad every night all my life growing up.
Ooh.
Not quite that way, not as extensive as I make it, but I grew up with romaine lettuce at every meal. And when I went off to college, I'm going, where's the romaine lettuce? What's this iceberg stuff? What is this? What's going on here? But the history of the Caesar salad is a very unique one. A gentleman by the name of Caesar, what was his name? Caesar Cardini. He owned a restaurant in both San Diego and in Ensenada, Tijuana area. And is during Prohibition, 1924, and he liked the one in Ensenada better because it's during Prohibition and he can serve alcohol. So one day, he's out of food. So he takes all the ingredients he has, and he takes lettuce, and he takes the olive oil and the garlic. He didn't have Lee and Perrins. He did not have the
Kroger.
And he didn't use the fish in it that we use. And but he made it tableside because he had to have flair for people to like it. So that's how it started. Then, and what they would do is tableside, and it was the whole leaf. You would dip the leaf in the salad dressing and then eat it from there. So, and then it got Americanized. We, you know, put more salt in it, which was the fish and the Lean parents. And so that came on later in his, you know, interviews with his daughter that I've read. She was very adamant that that's bad. That's bad. You know, that's not how Dad did it. But that's the history of the Caesar salad by Caesar Cardini.
The things you learn in Fairbanks.
I know. Yeah. And Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. I have in the studio here with me Karen Gordon, who is now, for whatever reason, the best Caesar salad dress maker in the world. And Rick Rydell, the best person to taste our Caesar salads.
Thank you. Yeah.
We'll be back after a message from our sponsors.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Make your next dinner or gathering with friends and family be the one they'll remember with help from Gavoris Fine Wine. Gavoris' selection of wines is one of the largest in the interior. You'll find the perfect pairing to complement any meal or to enjoy for any occasion. Gavoris has an outstanding selection of spirits and beers as well, including fresh Alaskan beers to fill your growlers. You'll find the home beer brewing supplies you need. Gavoris Fine Wine. Open noon to 8 every day in the Gavora Mall.
Things are coming back around, and it's time to celebrate. So do it with friends at Bobby's Downtown, with an amazing selection of Greek and Mediterranean cuisine, along with loads of your American favorites, plus one of the finest bars in all of Fairbanks. Bobby's Downtown, where everyone is family. Don't forget their amazing lunches during the work week, and check out their fantastic daily specials and amazing drinks. It's all at Bobby's Downtown, one of the best things about downtown Fairbanks. On 2nd Avenue, that's Bobby's Downtown. Hoodoo Brewery. Sure, you grab a cold one after work with your friends and coworkers in the amazing beer garden. Or maybe fill up the growler on the way home. Hoodoo Brewery. Some of the finest beer in all of Alaska, right here in Fairbanks, right in the heart of downtown. Now you can order your beer online at hoodoobrew.com or sign up for a tour of the brewery. Score some cool Hoodoo swag and support your local beer meisters. That's Hoodoo Brewery, a strong supporter of Fairbanks and local events, large and small. Hoodoo is always there with a cold one just for you. Hoodoo Brewery.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, Fairbanks, in the studio here. And we are bringing in Melissa Burnett now.
Bringing in the expert.
She looked at me and said, I love
Caesar salad.
I will tell you if it's no good or good.
Yes.
She said, I could have Caesar salads for lunch, dinner and breakfast
every day.
And if you don't bring it, I'm throwing you out of here.
She threw
down the gauntlet.
Legit. That's exactly how the conversation went.
So what do you think? What did you think?
Both of them, hands down, were very good. Very flavorful. So the glass bowl for yours, absolutely flavorful. The garlic was on point. The Parmesan. All the flavors mixed together was awesome. Honestly, I couldn't ask for a better salad. Yours, Mr. Pruse, was absolutely fantastic
as
well.
That is Mr. Pruse to you now.
although I do have a critique for you.
Oh, darn.
I do have a critique for you. Don't go with the thick sliced Parmesan. The Parmesan Reggiano crumbles like she used. That's what you need. Hmm? So that's my only advice.
Do that differently. Okay.
Yeah, do the cheese differently. Just get the crumbles. Don't go with the thick slices. That was my only complaint.
I will take that critique to heart.
There you go. That's the only
better.
There you go.
That's
the only complaint.
Kill you tomorrow, but that's okay. Now, you like to have a chicken Caesar salad too.
I do. I love chicken with my Caesars.
So how do you cook your chicken?
I usually just grill it on the stove. Anytime I go out to eat, it's a grilled chicken Caesar salad. I do not like fried chicken in it. It kind of takes away. I feel that the breading on a crispy chicken or whatever, it takes the flavor away from the salad. It absorbs those oils and those juices from the dressing, and so it takes away. So I prefer the grilled chicken.
This is how you make the best chicken Caesar salad in the world.
Okay.
First of all, you need her.
You need her recipe.
Yeah.
Yes, you need her recipe.
But what you do is you take your chicken breasts,
mm-hmm,
and you cook them in aluminum foil with the Caesar salad dressing in it.
There
on
you
top,
go.
And you seal it. And you cook it at 400 degrees mm-hmm. for 30 minutes.
Oh.
Pull it out, let it rest for 5 minutes, and then you slice it at an angle.
There you go.
And it's cooked perfect, and it wiggles at you. It's moist.
Yes.
It's tender.
Yes.
And that's what you want on a Caesar salad.
Kind of like if you've ever been to Brewster's here in town, they actually do a really good job at that. Yeah. They are phenomenal with their Caesar salad. So.
Yeah. Fairbanks, if you want a good quick Caesar salad recipe dressing at the store, Olive Garden.
Yes.
By far. Mm-hmm. The best one. Go get Olive Garden. I'm giving up the secrets, but that's what you listen to this show for.
Olive Garden has a great recipe.
Yeah. And so at my real estate class, I did a quick Caesar salad, and that's the way I made the chicken.
Oh.
And with the Olive Garden Caesar salad dressing. And they went nuts. They had never had such a good Caesar salad dressing. Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, hide the garden, the Olive Garden from them. Don't
hide the Olive Garden.
Oh, I made this by hand. I labored for an hour for you students.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, we are going to say goodbye to Karen because she's got to go. She has an appointment. We stretched her a little bit over here. So we're gonna say to Karen, it's always been a pleasure having you in here. You kicked my gluteus maximus fair and square. You rock. Guess what? That's why you're in the studio with me here. That's why you've been a wonderful companion on many restaurants and many reviews. We'll have to get you back in here within the next 2 to 3 weeks for more Thai restaurants because you're the one who's introduced me to Thai restaurants, what they are, how they do it. You've so expanded my food taste, and I so appreciate it. So you have a great day, and we'll see you later.
Thank you, Dave.
Same thing.
Now, Rick, you say that you enjoy eating meat.
I'm a meataholic, yeah.
Do describe. What do you like to do?
Well, right now, you might be interested in this. Actually, she might for her Caesar salad chicken. I happen to be currently hamming some links.
Oh.
That would make a nice little chicken, by the way, if you want to add that. I'm hamming links, and I'm going to put it into a makeshift ham press.
Now, that's not sausage links. That is the cat links.
It's the cat links. Yeah. As you know, sometimes I cook that stuff.
Yes.
Because I work at Fish and Game, by the way.
Yeah.
So basically, you're making sausage out of a predator.
I am
making... That is so cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to make deli cuts out of this.
Wow. Okay.
Because if anybody talks to Al Barrett, you'll find out I probably make the best caribou salami for sandwiches.
Oh.
He's addicted. I just had to make him 10 more pounds of it. But then I started thinking, what else?
Go rob him tomorrow.
Right. What else can you make? What else can you make to augment? And I started thinking, because I've made these, I've cured links many, many times. I thought, what about a deli slice? What about a ham out of links?
Oh.
So that's the next thing to happen.
I've never had links. I'm interested.
Oh, it's good.
I'm interested.
It might be the best
here,
wild
kitty,
meat.
Kitty.
Prue and I spent about 6 days in moose camp a couple years ago.
Nice.
We enjoyed ourselves. We did not get anything, but I wasn't there for the thrill of the kill. I was there for the camaraderie of the people. And we hunted well every day. We were a little bit early on the migration.
And we ate even better because
I was a camp cook, by the way.
Yeah.
No wonder why they brought me up there. Yeah.
He feeds us well here. Yeah. I've had many a Prue's meals.
So we're coming into fall.
Mm-hmm.
Have you put away your grill sets yet?
No. Oh, no.
You know, you're my next ex-wife. You are so my next
ex-wife. Oh, no, my grill stays out all year long. I don't ever put it away.
You're talking wedding bells.
There you go. Well, it's, there's no reason you can't grill up something in the middle of winter. It might take another minute or two.
Yeah.
You might have to adjust your times and whatever depending on the temperature outside and how long it does take your grill or your boilers or whatever it is you're using to heat up, but no reason.
October is a wonderful month to still be out on your deck grilling,
mm-hmm.
enjoying yourself. It doesn't get sunset till about 7 p.m., so you got a light out on your deck. But the temperature does not affect a gas grill or your smokers yet.
Well, there you go.
You know, when it comes into the winter around Thanksgiving, I will smoke a turkey
mm-hmm.
on my WSM, my Weber Smoky Mountain.
Mm.
But I also have a blanket for it. You know, an insulated blanket, so it holds the heat in there a lot better.
Yeah.
And last year, I produced a beautiful, beautiful smoked turkey, and I stuffed it with oranges and apples, lemon, and I took a photo of it, and I put it on Facebook, and I said, basically, Martha Stewart, I just kicked your...
Eat your heart out, Martha. Eat your heart out.
I just kicked your... It was so good, so beautiful, so golden brown.
I remember that picture.
So tasty. And
I think she was so distraught from that she went to prison. maybe before.
Might have been a little before that, but you know, we'll just say.
But I like how you think.
Yeah, thank you.
And so I still use my smoker, my grills and stuff like that in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on, I don't use my gas grill after about 10, 15 below. But what I do is with my Smoky Mountain Weber, my WSM Weber Smoky Mountain, sorry. Sorry, Weber, sorry, but I'm giving you a great thing here. What I do is where your charcoal box is on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
that's where I put my charcoal, and then I put a grate over it, and that's what I use as a grill.
Hmm.
And then I put the top on top, and it's great. I mean, I've cooked great ribeyes, perfect ribeyes at minus 30 below.
Nice.
Because sometimes you just need to do that. You need to get that fix.
Sometimes.
Of grilling and smoking food.
I'm no stranger to grilling at 40 below.
You know, we go Cro-Magnum once in a while, but what the heck. So what type of smoker? You were talking about yours?
I do the Pit Boss 820, the pellet grill. And then I also have an auxiliary cold smoke tube that I'll put in for doing cheese.
Oh, heck yeah.
How hot can you get that?
I can get it to about 600 degrees, but for me, it's more important to keep it at the lower temperatures.
Yeah.
When I find I'm struggling with grills to keep them at a lower temperature because I'm doing the long-term smoking and the long-term curing. So this one, I can hold it about 120
mm-hmm.
with the pellet grill on, and then I can do it at the ambient temperature with the tube itself.
You know, there was this event that I cooked ribs for, and I cooked 16 racks of ribs.
That's a lot of ribs.
On two different smokers, and they all came out at the same time. But the thing about it was I knew I did it right when you couldn't tell which one was on a pellet and which one was on a vertical with wood. And I used wood logs in one, and I used wood pellets in the other. And you literally could not tell which one was which.
Mad skills.
Yeah.
Mad skills.
Luck of the grill. Luck of the grill. not luck of the draw. Luck of the grill.
Lucky day.
Yeah. And I knew both of those grills so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've used them so often.
Right.
And, you know, it's just basically time and temperature. So I had it down.
Yeah. Well, what most people don't understand is grilling itself is an art.
Yeah.
It really, truly is. I mean, because if you think about it, you got to take in your outside elements. What's going on outside? How hot is it? How cold is it? You got to take in, okay, what do I want to do to my meat? Do I want to actually cook it in a short amount of time, or do I want to smoke it? Do I want to bring out that flavor? Do I want to, you know, so grilling is an art. So when you can master that, it's pretty amazing.
You know, a month ago, the Alaska Barbecue Association put on that event out at Two Rivers. And I had seven people who brought food. And what they did is I did not have them cook it out there, except for I brought out my grill, my gas grill. But they cooked at home, and they knew there was road construction. And we had 16 racks of ribs, 6 pork butts, you know, for the sandwiches, 125 pieces of chicken thighs. We made 125 hamburgers, and then we did that on site. Then we did I smoked up 12 pork tenderloins, and then we finished them out there on the grill and cooked them. So but you had all these masters, and they said, and I said, you know, we're gonna serve at 4.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a competitive barbecue guy, your turn-in time is 5 minutes before 4 to 5 minutes after 4.
Yeah.
So that's when you have it all there. And the line the production side was just so smooth. You know, you'd wait in line, you know, 40 people in line would wait maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And they're all hugging, you know, because they're all together for the first time since was apprehended.
Yeah.
You know?
But
when you're dealing with people who know what they're doing, on the time and the temperature, and knowing how to do it, it's an art. You know, I've become quite artful at it over many years. And I'm now what I call a rescue chef. When you're in a competition, you're going to do something wrong, and you be able to fix it, rescue it immediately without having too big of a tizzy fit.
But I still have that's hard to do.
But I still have a big tizzy fit.
I was going
to
say, I mean, I've seen your tizzy fits, especially when you lose with salads.
You haven't seen it yet. I'm holding back.
You're holding back because we're on the air. We're holding back.
You so owe me an adult beverage. You so owe me an adult beverage. This whole place owes me adult beverages.
I run things for you, Mr. Cruz.
Right.
I owe you nothing.
I know it. She does not fight fair, Rick Rydell.
I do not.
She does not fight
and
fair.
And nor does she have to.
No.
Like I was going to win this anyway?
Nope.
Oh, man.
You knew you were going to lose from the moment you walked in and told me what was going on.
Who in town has a good Caesar salad?
Brewster's.
Yeah.
Hands down. I've been to many places, had many salads, many Caesar salads here in town. Hands down, Brewster's.
You know where that came from, don't you?
I don't.
That's Gary Fall's wife.
I was wondering, Arlo.
Yeah, and full Italian.
Arlo's amazing.
Oh,
she is a phenomenal cook.
That's from the Giraldo side.
Yes.
You know, so they only got three restaurants. They're building another one out at the golf course. What the heck? They make the best Caesar salad in town. You are absolutely right.
Arlo herself, her menu, her recipes are by far the best I've probably come across in ever. I mean, she definitely knows what she's doing.
I just like their burgers.
Yeah, the good burgers too. Heck yeah.
Back to meat.
Back to meat. We like the meat.
You know, we're going to give Brewster's a shout out. Their menu is so diverse, but everything on it is good, and it matches up well.
Yeah.
Their appetizers, they have like seven salads of varying different types.
Yes.
And their ribs and their steak and their burgers.
Their chicken.
And then their sandwiches and their chicken and their kids' menu and their fish.
Yep.
And it's all priced from $9 to you know, $16 unless you go get the
surf and turf, which you're going to pay like $26 for, which even that's a great price.
But it's affordable, fine dining.
Yeah.
With a great atmosphere.
Great service, great people. Yeah, I love Brewster's. Absolutely amazing.
So you like Eggs Benedict, sir.
Eggs Benedict. Well, you know, as you guys were talking about the Caesar salad and you were giving us the origins of it, which is fascinating, by the way, it reminded me of the story of how this Eggs Benedict began in New York.
Yeah.
And how it's nowhere near what it was in the beginning, but it had a reason to start, and it was one guy.
Yeah.
And apparently one of his offsprings is trying to immortalize the story. Yeah. He's out there pushing it right now.
Oh, fantastic. So. They should. It deserves a kudos.
I will have to report on that at a different day, but you know, it's funny, the first time I ever cooked anything for VMAX and the other lady on the river.
Mm-hmm. Who, Wendy.
Not Wendy. She does the introduction on here for me.
Oh, Mandy.
Yeah. I was at a competition and state championship barbecue in a seafood. So I did a Eggs Benedict with scallops and champagne. So then there they are. They're doing a live remote. They're at their studio, at their station. Mm-hmm. And I go, and I saw them. I go, I'll get you a little breakfast here in a little bit. And I brought it over to them, and they just went nuts. You know, this, you know, Eggs Benedict scallops.
Nice twist.
Yeah. And so I came across that photo.
Well, you also brought DJ's food. Do you know how much we make here doing this?
Fairbanks, we have to wrap up our half hour of food ventures is coming to a close. Mr. Rydell,
pleasure.
It's always good to see you in Fairbanks, sir. You,
yes,
Miss Burnett, you broke my heart, but you lifted me up.
Well, you know, that's what I do. I told you it was going to be a hard sell.
You are the wind beneath his wings.
There you go.
I am the wind beneath his wings.
Fairbanks, you have a great Saturday night, and we will see you next week.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Gavora's Fine Wine and Spirits, Bobby's Downtown, Hoodoo Brewery, and Quality Food Sales.